Aham am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise, who perfectly know this, engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their heart. Please repeat after me. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who perfectly know this engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their heart. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. A learned scholar who has studied the Vedas perfectly and has information from authorities like Lord Chaitanya, and who knows how to apply these teachings, can understand that Krishna is the origin of everything in both the material and spiritual world. And because he knows this perfectly, he becomes firmly fixed in the devotional service of the Supreme Lord. He can never be deviated by any amount of nonsensical commentaries or by fools. All the Vedic literatures agree that Krishna is the source of Brahma, Shiva, and all other demigods. In the Atharva Veda, Gopal Tapani Upanishad 1.24, it is said, Jo Brahmanam Vidadhati Purvam, Jo Boi Vedangs Cha Gopaya Gapoyati Sma Krishnaha. It was Krishna who in the beginning instructed Brahma in the Vedic knowledge and who disseminated Vedic knowledge in the past. Then again in the Narayan Upanishad says, Atho Purusha Ha Boi Narayana Akamayata Praja Srijayati. Then the Supreme Personality, Narayan, desired to create living entities. The Upanishad continues, Narayanat Brahma Jayate, Narayanat Prajapati Prajayate, Narayanat Indra Jayate, Narayanat Ashtau Vashavo Jayante, Narayanat Ekadasa Rudra Jayante, Narayanat Dadashaditta. From Narayan, Brahma is born, and from Narayan, the patriarchs are also born. From Narayan, Indra is born. From Narayan, the 8 Vasus were born. From Narayan, the 11 Rudras are born. From Narayan, the 12 Adityas are born. This Narayan is an expansion of Krishna. It is said in the same Vedas, Brahmanna Devaki Putra, the son of Devaki, Krishna, is the Supreme Personality. Narayan Upanishad, then it is said, Eko Boi Narayana Ashin, Na Brahma, Na Ishano, Napo, Nagni, Samo, Neme, Dwav, Apartha, Aprithivi, Na Nakshatrani, Na Surya. In the beginning of the creation, there was only the Supreme Personality, Narayan. There was no Brahma, no Shiva, no fire, no moon, no stars in the sky, no sun. Maha Upanishad. In the Maha Upanishad, it is also said that Lord Shiva was born from the forehead of the Supreme Lord. Thus, the Vedas say that it is the Supreme Lord, the creator of Brahma and Shiva, who is to be worshipped. In the Moksha Dharma, Krishna also says, Prajapatim cha rudram chapi aham eva srijami boi tohi mang na vijanito mamo maya vimohitau. The patriarchs, Shiva and others are created by me. Though they do not know that they are created by me because they are deluded by my illusory energy. In the Varaha Puran, it is also said, Narayana Parudevas Tasmad Jatas Chatur Mukha Tasmad Rudra Abhavad Deva Sacha Sarva Gyatam Gataha. Narayana is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and from him Brahma was born, from whom Shiva was born. Lord Krishna is the source of all generations, and he is called the most efficient cause of everything. He says, because everything is born of me, I am the original source of all. Everything is under me, no one is above me. There is no supreme controller other than Krishna. One who understands Krishna in such a way from a bona fide spiritual master, with references from the Vedic literature, engages all his energy in Krishna consciousness and becomes a truly learned man. In comparison to him, all others who do not know Krishna properly are but fools. Only a fool would consider Krishna to be an ordinary man. A Krishna conscious person should not be bewildered by fools. He should avoid all unauthorized commentaries and interpretations on Bhagavad Gita and proceed in Krishna consciousness with determination and firmness. This is one of the most important shlokas of Bhagavad Gita, and I'm sure that's why it's on the board tonight for the class. Somebody very intelligently put a very nice shloka. So, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is announcing here that he is the source of everything, and he is the shelter of everything. All Krishna is saying, I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Krishna is not only the creator of the material world, Krishna is also the creator of the spiritual world. Everything emanates from me. The wise who perfectly know this engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. So, real knowledge actually is to know Krishna. It has been pointed out in the Vedas that the knowledge about material things are actually not knowledge. Now, knowledge about material things or material nature or knowledge about matter, the knowledge that actually that is experienced or received through our material senses has not been considered as knowledge in the Vedas. Instead, that has been considered as ignorance in the Vedas. That's a very important thing that we should all be very much aware of, that the real knowledge is the knowledge about the spirit, not the knowledge about matter. And why knowledge about matter is not at all considered to be knowledge? Because the knowledge about matter means knowledge that we have received by our senses, material senses. Now, these material senses are illusory. So that's why this knowledge is not actually knowledge. This is actually ignorance. Bhaktivinoda Thakur also says, Jaro vidya sab mayar vaibhav, jibke karoye gadha. He says, Jaro vidya sab mayar vaibhav, tomar bhajane badha, moho janomiya anitya sansare jibke karoye gadha, saying that jada vidya, all this material knowledge is actually an impediment to your devotional service. The knowledge about this material nature and all this materialistic knowledge is an impediment to Krishna consciousness. And moho janomiya, and this knowledge bewildering people, what this knowledge does, it simply bewilders people and makes an ass out of them. Ass is considered to be the most dumb animal. Of all the animals, ass is the most stupid. Right? And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that the people, those who become too involved with this materialistic knowledge, they just become asses. They become ignorant and stupid like asses. So, and here we can understand why is that? Is it that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, just out of his spite, out of his hatred for these materialistic people, he is speaking like that? No. We can very easily understand that our senses are temporary. Our senses are relative. And that's why the knowledge that is received by our senses are not real knowledge. Like for instance, we can see that different people have different perceptions. Different people will observe the same thing in a different way. Like you may put one, say for instance, if there is a piece of meat, right? Now some karmi will see the meat and he will start thinking, oh, it's so wonderful, right? And when we devotees see the meat, we become disgusted, right? So we can see it's the same object, but it's creating different kinds of feelings in different individuals. It is also said, like to give a more definite question, definite example, we can say that when, say for instance, when the mother sees her baby, the mother's heart becomes full of affection. When the mother sees the baby, her heart becomes so full of affection. And when the tiger sees that baby, the tiger's mouth begins to salivate. Right? So the mother is seeing, the object is the same, baby. But the mother sees the baby and the child, and the tiger sees the baby. But there is two different feelings altogether. Also, if we go further, we can see that same object may appear differently to different individuals. Like for instance, we see things in colors, right? But the animals don't see things in colors. They see everything in black and white. The object is the same, but the perception is different. Or you can say, what we take a round thing, and we see it as a round, right? But how does a bee see that? That round ball, a bee sees as a hexagon. So this is how our perceptions differ from different individuals. And then ultimately, we can see that what we are actually seeing as reality is not actually real. It is all just the interactions between the elements of the material nature and our senses. There are five elements in the material nature: earth, water, fire, air, and ether. And we have five senses: eyes, ears, nose, tongue, and touch. And they interact with each other and different sense perceptions are produced. Like, it is not that we have our ears, that's why we are seeing. Our sound that we hear is dependent on the ether in the atmosphere. Now, if we take the ether out, then we won't hear it. I'm sure everybody has done the test in science lab in the school. Like you make a vacuum, right? You make a vacuum and you ring a bell there. Did you do that? No? They do it like you take a bell jar, you know, like it's a kind of a apparatus that makes a vacuum, that takes out everything, air, ether, right? And then there's an electric bell inside and they switch on the electric bell. And you can see that the bell is moving, hitting the hammer is hitting the bell, but you don't hear any sound. Why? Because there is no medium to carry the sound. So the same, then again, we can expand that, you know. Like say, as I said, the ether and our ears, with the interaction between these two produces sound, right? In certain frequency, sound has different frequencies, you know. In different frequency, sound produces different sensation through our ears. And then if it goes beyond the frequency, do we hear that sound? Supersonic, we can't hear it. And subsonic, if you go below that region of sound waves, only between some, in some range of sound, we can hear it. If it goes below, or if it goes above that range or below that range, we don't hear that. Right? Same thing with our eyes. We see only the rays of light between violets and red. But there is rays beyond violet, which is called ultraviolet, and there is rays that is below red, called infrared. But we can, our eyes do not register that. So this way, our senses are there, and in some condition, our senses register things from the external nature. And general definition, general classification has been made as in the Ved, in the Vedic philosophy as ether and air. The interaction between ether and air produces sound. Interaction between air and skin produces what? Touch. The interaction between fire and eyes produces what? Form. Yeah, I'm sorry. An interaction between water and tongue produces, everyone knows that. And the interaction between earth and what's left? Nose. Earth and nose produces what? Smell. So this is how the elements from the material nature and our senses produce different experience, sense experience. Now if one is missing, or if the connection is not made, it will not produce any impression. Right? Like for instance, if there is no fire, that is if there is no light, will you, your eyes may be wide open. Can you see anything? Unless you're a cat. Only cats can see. But that means at certain other frequency of light, cats can see. But human beings, I mean, generally, if there is no fire or light, one cannot see. And the light may be there, but if our eyes are closed, then also we cannot see. So if the contact is not, if the circuit is not complete by two ends, there won't be any registration. So this way you can see that these material experiences are actually illusory. And on top of everything, when you are dead, all these material experiences are finished. So what's the use of this material experience? And what the material experiences do? It simply entangles us in the material nature. We see some beautiful form and we immediately become attracted. Right? We hear some beautiful sound, we immediately become attracted. But a wise man, Buddha Bhavo Samannita, a person who is wise, who is situated in knowledge, he does not allow himself to get entangled in those things. Actually, an intelligent man means a man who thinks, right? A person who thinks, he is intelligent. And, or a wise man. So a wise man will consider that these are all illusory. Why should I get involved? There is a saying also, the beauty is skin deep. The beauty is just only on the skin. Right? It's the depth of beauty is only up to the skin. Right? So a wise man does not become attracted by this illusory concept. He trains his mind to understand the real reality. So here Krishna is saying that a wise man knows that I am the creator. I am the supreme progenitor. Everything actually came from me. And that is the real knowledge. We have to understand. Anyway, so instead of jumping into that point, I'll have to clarify one point. Now, we have considered the material knowledge. Now, let us consider what is the spiritual knowledge. What is the spiritual knowledge? Will somebody throw some light on this? Will somebody say what is the spiritual knowledge? Lagu? Very good. The spiritual knowledge means the knowledge about the soul or the spirit and the spiritual energy of the Lord. Now, this knowledge, the spiritual knowledge actually begins from that. It begins from spirit. First, we understand that we are a spirit soul. Like in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna did that. Now, what Krishna told, what was the first instruction to Arjuna by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita? In this respect, second chapter, verse 11. So what did Krishna tell Arjuna? Nathve vaham jatu nasam, na tvang neme janadhipa, na bhuya, na bhavishyamo, sarve vayamatvara. So Arjuna, there was never a time when you, I, and all these kings, those who have assembled to fight, there was never a time when we did not exist. And there will never be a time when we will not exist. So what does it mean? The next verse Krishna is pointing out. Dehi nashmin jatha dehi, kumaram jaubanam jara, tatha dehantara prapti. So here Krishna makes a different discrimination. Deho and dehi, the body and the owner of the body. So matter and the spirit. So, and Krishna points out that your actual identity is the spirit soul. In your original identity, you are a spirit soul. And as a spirit soul, you must understand understand where you came from. First, Krishna explained that you are a spirit soul. Then Krishna explained the qualities of spirit soul. What are the qualities of spirit soul? The qualities of spirit soul, many qualities Krishna had described. But the few most important ones are Nainam Chindanti Shastrani, Nainam Dahati Pavaka, Nainam Klerayanto Apa, Nainam Shoshati Maruta. So that is the quality of the spirit. It cannot be cut by any weapon. Spirit cannot be cut by any weapon. Nainam Chindanti Shastrani, Nainam Dahati Pavaka, and it cannot be burnt by fire. Nainam Kledayanta Apo, it cannot be moistened by water. And Nainam Shoshati Maruta, and it cannot be dried by air. So that is what? That is the spirit. So the spirit soul is eternal. Ajo nitto shashato ayam purano na hannate hannamane sharire. So this spirit soul is eternal and unborn, and it cannot be slain even though the body is slain. Na jayate mriyate va kadachin. The spirit was never born and the spirit will never die. And that is our original identity. So, when we become situated in that knowledge that we are spirit and the spirit cannot be cut by weapons, cannot be burnt by fire, it cannot be drowned by water, and it cannot be dried by air, and the spirit was never born and the spirit will never die. It is eternal and it is everlasting. So when we become situated in that knowledge, then we are free from material entanglement. If a person has realized that, will he be afraid of death? If a person realizes that he is not this material body, but he is spirit, and the spirit cannot be cut, Then if somebody comes with a gun, will he be afraid? No, he will say, well, fine, go ahead, shoot. Because you can't kill me. Do you think that bullet can kill me? Or if somebody comes with a dagger, with a knife? He is completely unaffected. He knows nothing can cut him. He is the spirit, and the spirit cannot be cut, spirit cannot be burnt, spirit cannot be drowned, the spirit cannot be dried. And the spirit is unborn, and the spirit is eternal. So in that stage, he becomes abhaya. Abhaya means free from fear. A devotee, actually when one becomes a devotee, he becomes free from fear. And he becomes free from fear because he doesn't have any physical attachment. People, those who have, that's a good test also. If we become afraid, then we have to understand that we have very many material attachments. Fear means what? Fear means attachment to the body, not willing to give up this body. If we are not attached to the body, then we won't be afraid of anything. And in Bhagavatam, it has been said that only the Sudras are afraid. A Brahmin is never afraid. Why? A Brahmin is never afraid. Why, Radharaman? Right. Because the Brahmin knows, Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma. Na Sochati, na Kankshati. A Brahmin is situated on the Brahma Bhuta platform. He is situated on the spiritual platform. Right? And since he is situated on the spiritual platform, he knows that he is spiritual and he does not lament or he doesn't hanker for anything. Na Sochati, na Kankshati. And so in that stage, he becomes fearless. So Prabhupada says, often Prabhupada used to say that devotees are fearless. Now two kinds of people become fearless. One is one who is an absolute fool, and the other is who is situated in the Brahma-Buddha platform. Like sometimes we notice that some people are fearless. People say that they're fearless. They're fighting the big battles and so on and so forth. But the thing is that apparently they may appear to be fearless, but actually they are not fearless. They cannot be fearless. They may be powerful, and because of their powerful nature, they may be able to oppress the opposition to some extent. But when they are pinned down, when they are under the, under the wheel, beneath the wheel, then they realize, then they become afraid. So big, like the other day I was seeing, one, I was flying, and there was an article in Pan Am magazine. It says, not Pan Am, it was actually Lufthansa, or British Airways, one of these. it says Cassius Clay, it was actually British Airways magazine, that Cassius Clay, the big boxer, Muhammad Ali, he says that he is afraid of flying. Now apparently he is so, such a powerful man, such, apparently he is so fearless. But when he sits on an aeroplane, his heartbeat goes up very fast. He's afraid. Because he knows that, that he cannot fight with his fist. If the machine goes kaput, then there goes, he can't do anything. If the plane just falls from 35,000 feet, then what can he do? So these people are actually not fearless, but they're foolish. They do not have the ability to think. Because if they had the ability to think, then they would have realized that material nature is so strong, so powerful, and they don't stand a chance. So a devotee, in one hand, a devotee is afraid. A person who is situated in real knowledge, in one hand, he is very much afraid. And on the other hand, he is fearless. Now, what aspect is, what is the aspect that makes him afraid? The material nature and the overpowering influence of the material nature makes him afraid. Devotee is very afraid of material nature. He knows, he is afraid of Janma, Mrityu, Jara, Badhi. He is afraid of Maya. And being afraid, what he does, since he is wise, since he is situated in knowledge, he runs to Krishna. And Krishna, being the supreme controller, when the devotee is under Krishna's care, under Krishna's control, then he is fearless. Like a devotee is like a child who is holding the hand of the father. Right? A child, he is weak, he doesn't have anything to do, any strength to defend himself. And sometimes it happens that bullies, that's the expression, bully in German, some people, some boys, those who are always trying to hit people, right, or do mischief. So some boys are, like in schools you have somebody who is a bully, right? Who is always trying to create trouble for other boys. There is more powerful and he tries and hits them, track and does all kinds of nonsense. Now a child is naturally afraid of the bully. When he sees the bully coming, you know, like he runs away. But then he holds the father's hand. Then he is fearless. Then he walks with the father and tells the bully that you try to do something now, my father will beat the hell out of you. Right? So same way, devotees are always under the care of Krishna, and being protected by Krishna, devotees become fearless. And because they become situated in knowledge, they know that their spirit soul and Krishna is the supreme spirit, and when they are under the care of Krishna, then there is nothing to be afraid of. Like we may know that we are spirit soul, but if we do not have the shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, we cannot become fearless. Because although we are spirit, but material energy is so strong that material energy can just pull us down. What is it called in wrestling when you pull down and when you push that other opponent onto the ground? I say, Shultazi. Okay. So, material nature is like that. No matter how strong you are, if you get into wrestling with material nature, then material nature is going to pin you down. Like, actually, it's very significant that there is a great demon called Mahishasura. Mahishasura, buffalo demon. The demon was so powerful that it drove away the demigods out of the heaven and creating a havoc all over the world. And then the demigods prayed to Durga, Maya Devi. And there was a big fight between Maya Devi and Mahishasura. And then finally, Durga Devi killed Mahishasura with the trident, with a spear, pierced the heart of Mahishasura. So, the demons are always trying to fight with Maya. They're always trying to conquer Maya. But ultimately what happens? Maya just pierces their heart with the spear. They're defeated by Maya. So no matter how strong one is, and these people, they actually knew that they were spirit souls. And they thought that since they're spirit souls, they're stronger than material nature. Because spirit soul, they're more powerful than matter. And they wanted to dominate over the matter. That's what happens with everyone. Everyone is trying to dominate the material nature. Why? Because he thinks that he is superior to this material nature, and this inferior material nature is for his enjoyment. We can enjoy only something that is inferior to us. we cannot possibly enjoy something that is superior. So material nature is inferior to us, that's why we want to enjoy material nature. But no matter how hard one tries to enjoy this material nature, one can never be successful. Had anybody ever been successful in his endeavor to enjoy material nature? I'm sure all of you tried so hard to enjoy, didn't you? Everybody tries to enjoy. And then ultimately when Maya kicks you right on the face, then you realize that this material nature is not for our enjoyment. And then by good fortune, by the mercy of the sadhu and guru and Krishna, we came to this movement. So after we came to the movement, then we got the real knowledge. And that's why now we are safe. And as long as we remain in Krishna consciousness, we will be safe. But if we go away from Krishna consciousness, then there is trouble. Then nothing can actually save us. Gradually we'll drift away. I've seen so many big devotees. They thought that they'll be able to maintain their Krishna consciousness outside ISKCON or outside the association of devotees. But they all have been swept away by the waves of Maya. So, we must be very careful to understand that Krishna is the supreme controller, Krishna is the supreme source, and we must be very, very careful, and we must surrender to Krishna, knowing that He is our supreme shelter. If we know that Krishna is our supreme shelter, then automatically we are safe. Because we take shelter of somebody who is the supreme proprietor and supreme controller. So then there is no fear. Hare Krishna. Jai Shri Prabhupada. Does anybody have any question? Actually, the spiritual knowledge is not received by our material senses. How is it received? In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says what about this receiving the spiritual knowledge? That's one, but the real direct one is tadbiddhi pranipatena pariprashnena shevaya. Upadekshantite jnanam jnanina sattadarshina. This knowledge is given by the spiritual master who has the knowledge. So, take jnanina sattadarshina, one who has the knowledge, he gives it to you. It is not that you get it by your senses. Right? And how do we approach him? Pranipatena. By offering obeisances, right? Offering obeisances means surrendering. And surrendering means we tell ourselves, actually now I'm not going to judge for myself or I'm not going to reason it for myself. I'm just going to receive whatever he gives, right? Pariprashnena. And if you have some sincere inquiries, you can ask him, right? You ask your sincere, if you have any doubt, like you can say, for instance, the Guru Maharaj says that clean the temple with cow dung, right? And he says, the other day you told me that stool is impure, right? And cow dung is the stool of cows. So why are you giving all kinds of contradictory statements, right? You don't argue like that. But if you have a question, then you inquire him submissively. And then he gives you the knowledge that yes, actually that's true what you are saying, cow dung is also stool. But you see, Vedas are absolute truth. And when Veda says the cow dung is pure, you have to accept that cow dung is pure. Although your senses may say that cow dung is stool. Right? So this is Pariprashna. And Shevaya, you render service unto him, and that's how you please him. And then he gives you imparts the knowledge unto you. This is one thing. Another one is Dibbogyan Ride Prakashito. This transcendental knowledge is revealed in the heart. This Dibbogyan means transcendental knowledge. And Ride Prakashito means, Ridai means heart. And Prakashito means manifest. So this transcendental knowledge is not received by our senses, but it is revealed in our heart. It is said, Jatha jatha gaura padaro binde, kriyeto bhakti kritapunja rashi, tatha tathut sarpati ridi akushmat, radha padambhoja sudham varasi. The jatha jatha gaura padaro binde, kriyeto bhakti kritapunja rashi. As we become surrendered to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as we become surrendered to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet, the more we become surrendered, then one day all of a sudden we see that Radharani's lotus feet has become manifest in our heart. And manifestation of Radharani's lotus feet means pure Krishna consciousness. So we are not actually approaching Krishna, we are approaching Mahaprabhu. We are approaching Guru Gauranga. Right? We are just serving according to Guru's instructions. Right? According to Mahaprabhu's instruction. But then all of a sudden we see that Krishna's lotus feet has become manifest in our heart. So that is how the spiritual knowledge is. So that is not received by our senses. Your eyes may be fixed on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, right? But somehow one day you'll see in your heart that Krishna's lotus feet